I am truly excited today. Today, we are on Straight Talk with Carlos and Lauren. The most fabulous part of this is I get to redo another show with a really dear friend of mine, Corey, and I'm going to say his middle initial because no one else does, W. Jenke. And he is, because here's the plug-in, because if I search you on social media, how are you known? Corey W. Jenke, not just Corey Jenke. So anyways, this is going to be a really good show today because I do a lot of different shows about, social media with other social media people that will teach people why to use social media. And today we're going to tie in with Corey's journey, as Corey has several, let's say, professions, if you will. One of them is that he works as a professional pharmacist and is really good at what he does. And he's used all the self-development tools to learn how to communicate with people as people and have fun and not just be from a doctoral kind of energy, if you will, meaning doctor energy of even if it's a pharmacist dealing with doctors. And he's really good at writing, and he's written several books. So we're going to talk a lot about that and his journey, why social media is so important. And then he's got immense just qualities that are just high energy and knowing how to give advice without kind of giving advice. People don't want to be told what to do. They want to be heard, and then you can kind of find your way in there. And he's really learned to do that really well. So welcome, Corey. I'm so excited to have you back.
Well, I'm excited to be here. And now, after you introduce me, I'm s excited to listen to myself. I sound really great to hear you say it.
Okay, so what you had asked me to do was, that what I do is I'm like you, I have two arms. I have one company called Link Local Network, and that specific company is a one-stop shop, if you will, for authors, speakers, or consultants, or anybody who wants to put themselves out there from an author genre. We do marketing, press releases, social media publishing, and I mean publishing of all kinds, PDFs, social ebooks, print books, soft covers, all that. Printing. So basically everything someone needs to put their brand out, their branding, graphics, help you find your mantra, your tagline, if you will. What colors really bring out. We do a lot of what I would say is called multi-sensory multimedia, teaching people why colors trigger certain energies or emotions and why your logo should be different colors, et cetera. And then we have me, my brand, which that's how you've come to know me, even though it's been through social media, which is my Carlisa Thorne Straight Talk with Carlisa Thorne, which is all my self-development, where I help people find their passions, dig through their gunk, if you will, so that they can get where they want to go in life. And it's basically conscious business collaborations and self-development. And bridging the literally for me, it's bridging the West and the East and health and it just the mind, body, spirit business, because to me it's all interconnected. So those are the two main branches. And so and oddly enough, you didn't know I did this whole other side, which prompted this conversation. So I'm gonna give it back to you, and you're gonna ask me questions and share with the audience your journey and, if you will, struggles as having to put your brand out there, come up with your websites, put out this book that you didn't have necessarily the success you wanted with the first one, and your journey forward. And I will answer any questions that you have, and I will help you to the best of my ability. And as you know, if I don't know the answer, I'm always honest with that and tell you I will go find the answer for you. So with that, Corey, shoot away.
Well, one of the things that you and I were talking about before the conversation opened is that, 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote a really good book. I know it's a really good book because all three people that read it told me so. In other words, I wrote this book. It was called We Are Not Here on Rehearsal, and I put my heart and soul into this book because what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with people that you don't have to be stuck in life. You can get out there and do everything you want to do, but you got to have a roadmap. And I got the roadmap from my pharmacy customers. Having been a person who is waiting on people all day, every day, I got to learn from all their life experiences, things that they taught me, mistakes that they had made, philosophies that they had developed that I didn't have to go through the pain and struggle on my own. So I wrote this book and I thought it was really going to help a lot of people. Only what I found out was that if you don't have a platform, you don't have a framework, you don't have a network, and you don't have an email list, your book's not going very far, no matter how good it is. But I don't give up very easily. In fact, I don't give up at all. So I made it my life's mission over the course of the next 4 years to study successful people and figure out, how does Paulo Coelho get out there and write a book that sells 13 or 14 million copies? You know, how does Brendon Burchard hit the number one bestseller list before the book's even released? And what I learned is that there's a lot of different philosophies out there. A lot of them seem like no-brainers, but a lot of them are really, really confusing, social media being one of them. I know from my gut that I've made a lot of really good friends, yourself included, on social media, but when you're trying to leverage your time, all right, so I work full-time. I've got this new book out. It's called The Successful Thinker. I think it's going to be a game changer for anybody who reads it. But what I want to know is, where should I be investing my time in terms of building my platform, and how do I take social media and use it efficiently and effectively? As you well know, there's multiple different arenas. So where would you start if you were launching a book?
So the first thing I always tell people is, and as a matter of fact, I just read an article that was saying you've been lied to, that social media isn't the all be end for businesses, that, you know, social media isn't for everybody. Now, I'm going to add to this. There's one valid point to that. Obviously, if you have an extremely niche business, social media may not work for you because it's so niche, or it's like an industry that's very rare, or, you know. The point is, first of all, you need to know what your message is. What is your customer base, right? Now, where I disagree with this person, and I'm not mentioning articles or names, is the fact that even if you do have a niche business, okay, or it is something, it's an industry that's rare. Here's the thing. Google is called SEO. Google is search. So for that particular type of business, maybe Facebook isn't for them, right? So that's the biggest problem. Most social media, and I don't like the word, you know, I don't like this word, gurus, experts, whatever you want to call them, because to me, I believe I'm always growing. There's always going to be someone that knows more than I, and that's part of evolution and growth. Yay, right? So the thing is, so when people are trying to sell you service, they're going to tell you, you need Pinterest, you need Instagram, you need Google, you need Facebook, you need LinkedIn, you need all this, right? And no, that is wrong, because first of all, you can't divert your energy to all those platforms. You can if you have someone else doing it for you and have the money to have someone do all of it for you. And, you know, you have using automation, which we'll talk about in a bit, because I do believe in automation. I believe in ethical automation. So there's a difference. So the key is you need to know your client. If I'm working with someone, I'm doing a full intake on that client. I don't want to just know what their product is. I want to know who they are. What are their passions? What are their values? What are their beliefs? Because that's going to tell me what I need to do with that person. And by their personality, I'm going to know what platforms are going to serve them better. It's not just the product. It's what that person's personality is, because certain platforms have different personalities. So for someone like you who's very animated and very communicative, I know that Facebook is a place for you. However, and because you are a professional, LinkedIn serves a purpose. The point is not picking all the platforms, picking maybe a few platforms and focusing on those. Now, I have to say that we're very visual people, and people like to connect and know people more than their product or brand. So from that perspective, I've had a lot of people who have a lot of success with Instagram because it's in the moment. Yes, it's a little bit of selfies, but it also includes the public and your public life. It's not just, here's my book, here's my webinar, here's my this, here's my that. So for people that are very passionate and communicative, I find Instagram is helpful. Facebook is helpful. Google, even though it's not as communicative as Facebook, it's important because people are going to search. For example, maybe they're searching for people that specifically are self-development people or self-development books or books on writing, or they put in a name query. It's going to come up. The problem with Google is most people don't know how to use it. So I'm going to let you ask me more questions because I could go on for hours on the subject. So that's the key, though. When you're starting with any book launch, or you have to step back so many paces before that, is get to know your client, and you need to sit down and figure out, what is the outcomes this person is choosing to have it? Is it $1 zillion? Is it impacting a lot of people and creating some abundance? And what is the overall outcome? Because that also makes a huge difference. Because the higher you want to go you know, it's going to require more work. So the other component here is how much time does that person have to devote to that project?
Excellent. Excellent. So when you talk about Google, you're now talking about Google Plus, or are you talking about YouTube, or are you talking about both?
Okay. So here's the thing. I love YouTube, and it depends on what it's for. For me, honestly, YouTube is puppies, kittens, and music. It's not for, how can I say, speaking and authors. You will get some, but unless it's like, you see a lot of, what do you call it, DIYs, do-it-yourself, right? Those get a ton of hits on YouTube, but that's a very engaged kind of platform. They're opening a something. Hey, I can't show the brand, but this is the water bottle, and you know, when I take it off, it tastes like this. That's very different, so you're going to get a lot of engagement on YouTube. However, if it's a video like this, all of my audience, all of my downloads, all of my hits come from Vimeo. Because that's where people go for, in my personal opinion, where people go to get the, a higher level, if you will, I guess, of education or author speaking or interviews. Now, YouTube still is important though, because YouTube, like this Hangout, I'm doing a whole episode just on Hangouts and why they're so important. Because this, when you do a Hangout and then you reload it, it goes into your YouTube account. So you are getting a little bit of SEO juice. Now, SEO has changed a lot. It's not what people normally think it is. G Plus is important because here's the thing. Every time you post on there, if you know how to, now here's why I said use it properly. When you use Google Plus, there's two key components you need to know. One is hashtags, just like on Twitter. When you put in a hashtag, you post something, I put in hashtag, self-development or quote of the day or, cry list of thorn, whatever it is. When people go and do a search on Google, a hashtag, or if they do that hashtag in Twitter, what'll happen is that particular hashtag will come up and it'll list all the people that have that hashtag. So Google is really good for using hashtags. Now here's the other biggie that most people aren't aware of. I'm gonna give you an assignment, Corey. I want you to Google while on a separate browser, I want you to Google Carly Lissa Thorne and tell me what comes up.
All right, I'm on it.
And I want you to look at where, you have different sections, right? You have one that'll say just, has the regular content and has images and has videos and has all these different things. So how many pages do you see of me of just my name?
Of just your name?
Well, when you're typing Carly Lissa Thorne, when you scroll, how many, am I the whole page or is it mixed with other people?
You are the top like five. Well, you're at the top, maybe you're all the way down the page.
That's what I thought. Now click to the second page. It'll either say Carly Thorne or Carly A. Thorne or one of the variations above.
Yeah, you're all the way down that page too. You're famous. Well,
go to page three.
Yeah, wow.
Go to page four.
We're all the way, yeah, you're still going.
Go to page four.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking about Cloud and we're talking about Radiant Survivor. Yeah, all kinds of cool things.
Okay.
So you're in forever. I'm way out here.
Right. Okay. So my point is, and I'm now going to tell you how I do that. So that's the key. Okay. So now I want you to click on the images. Click on the images.
Sorry, I had closed out because I didn't know I was still in school. Now, this is great. It's very inspiring to me. Okay, so images. Holy cow, there you are all over the place.
Okay, so now I'm going to tell you how I do this, and this is where to tie to Google Plus. Okay, most people don't understand that if I'm interviewing Corey, and you know how I create those graphics for my shows, what do I do on those graphics? I include who besides me?
Other people. Like now, I see. Well, go ahead.
Right. Okay, so now let me tell you the key to this. When most people upload pictures, I don't care what platform it is, Facebook, anywhere, what do? They upload the picture, and I'm going to look at one on my desktop right now. It says 1124-5262-. Now, that tells nobody nothing, and that is not going to come up on the search engines. Every time I load up a pic, you have to add these pictures to your blogs. That's why I'm all over the place on images. And you notice all my Vimeo images up there, all my YouTube images. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to ask you. I'm going to tell you in a minute to do that. I was going to have you go to videos and see how many come up. Let's skip that for now. So when you upload your photos, it is imperative that you label them, you relabel them with your name, the way you want to be known on Google. So Carly Lissa Thorne, and I'll put interviews, Corey W. Janke. So now what happens, Corey, I guarantee you, if you Google yourself and you go to images, you'll see images of you and me on there.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is what I'm doing. I'm giving juice to who? Not just me. I'm giving juice to everybody else that I interview. So everybody else that I interview is now getting juice from me. They're getting Google juice. They're getting SEO juice because I take the time to label my images. So any images that's my image, meaning I have the copyright to, I've created it, and I have permission from the authors to create the graphic, right? So I'm not stealing anyone's content. I then put Carly Lissa Thorne and whatever other content I want. I can put Carly Lissa Thorne dash, you know, health, Carly Lissa Thorne, Veta, you know, I do also do a health show. So it could be Veta Foods health show, right? Or Carly Lissa Thorne plus Phil Kurbachak that I just interviewed, right? So that's how you get seen in Google.
You know, it is interesting because I'm looking at this and I Googled myself and I have two rows. And on the second row, you're in three of the pictures. So there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pictures of me and 3 pictures of you on my own name.
Right.
That's insane. That's really cool to know.
Right. So when I interviewed you, every time that I interviewed you, I create a graphic and I tag it with you and me. And most people don't take the time to do that. Okay. So now let's get to why YouTube is important. These hangouts are important. When I create the YouTube descriptions, even though I don't get a lot of hits in terms of listens, it is still going to YouTube. It's still going to Google because when you hit videos, go to videos now.
Okay. Got a whole bunch of them.
Exactly. Okay. So what's going to happen on videos, it's going to list all my Vimeo videos and all my YouTube videos. Now, here's another key. It's not just hashtags. What else is it? It's keywords, tags. So when you're doing your blog descriptions, you have your description, you have your title, you have your mini description of the blog post, and then what do you have after that? Keywords. And on the side of your blog post, you have tags. It's the same thing when I upload a YouTube video. When I upload a YouTube video, I put a descriptive description in there. I see so many people put a 1 or 2-liner. Video with blah, blah, blah. They have no links to their websites. They have no links to the author or whoever else they're interviewing information. They have no tags in there. The tags have to be consistent. So those tags are going to be Carly Lissa Thorne, Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne, whatever the subject is about the video. And the person I'm interviewing's information, their name, their keywords. In other words, what do they do? So if I'm talking to him, let's say I'm interviewing him about his book. I'm going to put his book in the tags, right? So this
That's really
is why.
Smart.
So this is why YouTube is so imperative from that perspective. In terms of getting listens, you're not so much going to get them there. In terms of it's this type of interview where we're talking about, more of an interview platform. Now I do get a lot of hits on YouTube if it is a social media interview or if I'm interviewing someone that already has a big presence on YouTube. Okay, so when I interviewed Bob Berg, for example. In a very short period of time, he had over 2,000 listens, which is very, it just doesn't really happen that much. Like I said, unless it's like a fun, very youngish, instructional video. Okay, so that's Google. And I could go on and on, but that is a condensed version of Google and YouTube.
Well, that's really, really helpful. I mean, I never would have thought of that. I think that's an incredible piece of insight in that here you're working really hard to do all this stuff. And again, you're the only one that knows about it. So now when you tag, it makes sense now that if you tag me, then whenever anybody goes to search me and you show up, then all of a sudden they go to search Brian Tracy and you show up somehow or another, it all makes sense that you're the one talking to everybody. Beautiful. Yeah, brilliant.
I'm more than happy to answer any more questions, but I hope that helps. And I hope that helps the audience a little bit.
Oh, I think it's really good. So you kind of said this before, but I want to make sure it was really clear because I almost missed it myself. So if I'm sitting there and I'm going, Carly, I want to launch a book. I want to get started on social media. What are my first 5 things I need to do?
first, you need to really have a detailed conversation with the person you want to work with. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. Choose the people you work with carefully. Do your vetting. And I mean, do your vetting. Go check out. I'll give you an example. How many people do I know, and I'm, again, not going to say names, that will say that they are professionally do social media. And I will go to their social media, and I personally will go look, and I'll go to, let's say, I'll go to their Google page. And their graphic doesn't even fit inside their, you know, every platform has a different graphic size. And I'll see people, they'll take the Facebook, they'll create one graphic, they'll take the Facebook graphic, and they'll stretch it, they'll compress it, and then they'll put it up on Google, and it doesn't even fit. So you see half of it. If someone tells me they're a social media, quote unquote, expert, and I go to their platforms and I see their graphics don't even fit, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do business with them. You can get a graphic done or resized on Fiverr for, you know, a very minimal price. It may not be $5. It may be a little bit more, you know. However, if you give them the original file, the graphic that you've created, and all you're asking me to do for is resizing or just tweaking a little bit, you can get it done for fairly easily, quickly, and a very fair economical price. So when people tell me, A, I don't have the money, or I don't have the time, or I'm not a graphic person, I don't buy that. Okay. So if you're going to work with someone to launch a book and you're looking to, you know, start a social media, I would say campaign or marketing campaign, do your homework. Go look at those people's websites. Go do your Google. See if they have any complaints. Find out, you know, do they have references? Go to people you like, trust, and want to work with. And here's a big key. Can you communicate with them? In other words, if you send them an email or a voicemail, how long does it take to get a reply?
And are they answering the question you actually asked them?
Exactly. I just had this happen with one of my clients where I had to switch midstream in her production from, well, I was already working with her, but she was working with another publisher, and that did not go very well. And I had to pull her into my publishing, and we got her book done in 2 weeks, and the other person had been working for over 5 months. Okay. So, and she lost some money, and I felt really bad, and I offered to donate my time and services for that loss, and then she still paid for the publishing separate. The point is, you have to find someone that you trust. And I also encourage people to find a place where you can get everything done under one house, because what happens is everyone's talking to each other. It makes things much smoother and easier. Instead of going to a publisher here, social media person here, your graphic person here, you'll find there's a lot of companies like mine. And I'm not saying anyone has to come to me. I'm just saying there are a lot of companies like mine that do everything under one umbrella, where they're partnered with several people and they all know each other intimately and they communicate constantly. They have like what we call, and we use Basecamp. And Basecamp is where all projects in. So all our teams communicate in there, whatever project they're working on, okay? So that is key. How long did it take them to communicate back to you? Okay, and like you said, did they answer what you asked them? So once you have that, now you found, we're using me as an example, you found me, next step. Set up that, I'm gonna say Skype, and I'll tell you why. Or a Google Hangout where you don't have to record it. I can see you, you can see me, you can see my animation. Am I happy? Am I a grumpy person? Am I a passionate person? Am I really, you know, monotone and, you know, dragging, and am I listening, right? If I'm on the phone with you, we're going to be tripping over each other's words. I don't know. I don't have this verbal cue of lips to know when you want to say something, right? So you'll be asking me a question, and I'll be all excited to want to answer, and I don't know when you're going to stop, and I can't tell you to shut up, right? So you're just like, you know, right? This allow, and there's no excuse not to use Skype. It's free. Google Hangout, free. And you don't have to record Google Hangout. You can have the conversation and hang up. But this way you have those cues. And you also connect energetically. Is it going to be a fit? You know when you shake someone's hand and instantly hate them or love them? Why is that? Okay?
That's excellent.
It's the same thing, right? You can hear me laugh. If we can have a meeting and laugh, that's a good sign, right?
Oh, you bet.
Right? So that would be your second step. Do your vetting. Find someone you want to work with. Have this meeting. Is that person taking notes, or are they just talking nonstop? Are they stopping to listen? I know I'm talking a lot right now, but you're asking. But you know what I'm saying? Are they listening? Are they taking notes? Are you taking notes? That's the other thing too, right? So that meeting then is where you start to map out, create your blueprint of what your needs are based on your product.
Cool. I want to add one thing before I forget. This business of checking people out, this is really important, because one of the major mistakes that's cost me a lot of money is I have signed up with people who have a great first pitch. And then you find out you're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting for something that's never going to happen. Not because they're bad people. Don't get me wrong. A lot of times they mean very well, but they're just not organized. I can't get over how many people tell you that they'll deliver on Thursday, and if they deliver at all, it's 3 weeks from Thursday. So I think one of the things that's really important is that you really do have to check people out. We like to be nice people. We like to trust people. But what happens is when Carly gives me a spiel and I go, okay, where do I sign? It's like getting married on the first date. Because a lot of what we're talking about is really long-term relationship stuff. So that would be my first thing. The other thing is, I just read an article recently about you really want to know who you're doing business with, because sometimes their reputation can really hurt your reputation, and their reputation can go way back. If you Google this person, are they standing on top of a bar with a beer bong in their, you know, in their possession, and does that affect your clients? And, you know, like we were just talking about, it's real easy to get linked up with somebody. I Googled myself. I came up with you. Obviously, I didn't have anything to worry about, but I need to be careful about who I'm linked to now, because they could wreck my reputation just by association. Is that true?
Absolutely. I've actually had people want to work with me, and the first thing I do is I actually go. Now, here's the thing. Businesses are supposedly ethically not allowed to look at your personal social media. Here's the thing, though. And this is a really dicey one, but here's the thing. If I am working with Corey and I know he's going to be working with me, whether Corey and I like it, he's still representing my brand. Therefore, yes, I'm going to go check. I am going to Google him. I am going to go check out his Facebook page. However, more than likely, because we haven't signed a contract yet, I have no law binding me, unless we've signed a non-disclosure agreement, for me to go look at his personal Facebook page. If I then go, and I always check the photos, if I then go to the photos and I see him with beer, you know, beer bottles and drunk and, you know, clad bikini girls next to him just being all like, you know, whatever, I'm not going to want to do work with him, because you're right, it is going to affect my brand. Now, here's the other point that I always tell people. Everybody does have a past. I don't care how good you are. Okay. We all have one. Here's the thing. Are you honest about it? Right.
Good point.
You've heard me talk about my past all the time, right? I grew up with sexual, verbal, physical abuse. I've had 30 something. I'm going on 32 surgeries tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And I'm a health nut. People are like, how could you, that's not ethical. How can you preach about, you know, being healthy when you've been 200 pounds and you've been sick and had surgeries? I'm like, yeah. And here's a picture of me 6 months later at 120. And you just see me after my last batch of surgeries, what? I got up to real heavy because I couldn't do anything. And what? I'm down to 122 right now. So yes, we need to be able to walk our talk. And we also need to be vulnerable enough to share our failures, right?
Sure.
And our successes. I have a reason for why I got heavy in the medical history. My mom had German measles, she was pregnant with me, and it created an immune system, blah, blah, blah. I don't come out of victimhood. I come out of, if I can do it, so can you. I use my past to empower, motivate, inspire. I don't use it to go, I've had a shitty past, I've had no control, and la, 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 la. Now, was I ever an angry person? Did I ever have a time that I was just like, you know, victim energy when I was younger and angry at the world? Of course I did. I am honest about my past, right? And I think when we don't sweep things under the carpet, things don't tend to come to Google. Is when we don't, and you think you're holier than now, people do start doing the research and they do find something dirty. What do they do with that dirty? They plaster it all over social media and say, hey, this person said this, and guess what I found? Right? Okay?
Exactly.
Don't do that. We're all human. We all have a past. We've all made mistakes. You may have, you know, when you're really, really young, you may have some stupid naked picture somewhere, right? I mean, their kids have done stupid things. It might have been when you're 16. Who the heck knows? You see that all the time with famous people where something comes out. A part of it is because they never share they've had a past. I'm better. I've never tried pot. I've never done anything. I've never gotten drunk. I've never done this. All kids do stupid things. They experiment. You know, it's a part of, I don't know, the journey, if you will. And some people maybe don't do as drastic of bad things, right? But right. some do. Does it make them a bad person now? No. Who are they now? That's what I care about.
Exactly. And the thing that I think what most people are very understanding, as long as they don't get surprised, as long as they don't get ambushed by your past.
And that's why I'm out there with my past. It's like, yeah, you know, have I had a massive amounts of debt when I was going through a zillion surgeries? And, you know, yes. You know, have I ever declared bankruptcy? No. Now, if I said I had to because of medical reasons, I would, right? You know, have I ever gotten arrested? No. But, you know, it's like being really honest. You know, have I been divorced? Have I had a tumultuous relationship? Yes. You know, it's like, okay, who am I now? Did I learn? That's the thing. Did you learn from your past?
And, right? And are you using it to help other people, I think, is also really important.
Exactly.
Cool. I appreciate your candor and your honesty, because that's one of the things that's really great about you, is you're very genuine, and you really do come from a place of, you know what, I've seen it, I've done it, and I don't want you to make the same mistakes I made. And I think that's really, really cool. So tell me about some of the mistakes you see of people posting. Let's just talk about Facebook, because that's where you and I met. What are probably like three of the biggest mistakes that you see?
The three biggest mistakes I see in Facebook is, the first one is most people do not make their pages public. And I'll tell you what happens with this. If I am an author or I'm someone that's relatively well known, it's like you saying, I'm better than you and you can't post on my page. And on top of that, not only are their pages not public, I'm just going to tie these together since I only get 3 points, they post only about themselves and they post nobody else's content. They share from nobody else's pages. That makes it all about I. And here's the point. Social media isn't an I platform. It's a we platform. It's a two-way conversation. That means it ought to be 80% other people's content. That means you're posting directly articles from other people and you are sharing from other people's pages. And I'll tell you why this helps you, which most people don't get. Let's say I share Corey's post about his blog post that he did. And now, and I also, by the way, you have to have permission to this. Not everyone likes this. Sometimes you might want to tag, I might want to tag Corey so he knows that I posted it. What happens is people now see his name on my page. What's going to happen when they see his name on my page? They go to Corey's page. And they're like, oh, Corey's got really awesome content. So they're going to keep on going back to Corey's page. Now, because Corey knows we're good friends, he may post something about one of my posts on his pages. Now what happens? People go to Corey's page and they see my post. And now they're going to come to my page and go, oh, I like what she posts. The point of social media is a two-way conversation. If it's I, there is no I, by the way, without the we. So that is the two biggest mistakes I see. And what people don't get is there's a zillion settings on Facebook. There's a setting for profanity, by the way. You can go in there and say, if anyone says any sort of, there's mild, moderate, and strong profanity. So when you put any, if so, and you know, it searches. So if you say the F word, or if you say any other not nice word, it will block it. And it'll come out like faded, and you'll get a notification, invisible, and they'll give you the option to look at it and post it or delete that comment. So here's the thing, you can still have a public page and still protect yourself by using settings like for the profanity. For example, the tag setting. If you don't want people just being able to post your page and tagging you constantly, it says notify me, let me see the tag before it gets posted. So you can hide it. It still goes in another place where other people might be able to see it, but it's not on your page and it won't be on your page. And or you do hire someone for social media, you engage with these people and you tell them what your boundaries are. And so they can filter, or they'll send you an email with the links or whatever post, so you can check them out and say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So you're not responsible for your page 24 hours a day. So if you are going to keep your page public, you do need to moderate it. However, you do have a lot of control and it makes people feel welcome on your page. So that is the first big one. You have any questions about that one before you go on to number two?
No, I think that those are really great points, because so many people want to play the higher authority. And I'm all about approachability. You know, as a pharmacist, the big decision I made 25 years ago was that I don't want to be professional. I want to be approachable. And that's made success for me that other people couldn't even possibly, understand unless they're approachable. And once you make your page public and you say, okay, this is where we're hanging out, that adds a whole bunch of value to your audience.
And realize just how the way I treat Corey knows how to train me. It's the same thing. If you post on your page appropriately, guess what's going to happen? Other people will post on your page appropriately. If you rant, bitch, complain, have negative postings, what do you think is going to happen to your page?
You know, that's totally true. Everybody that's in my whole circle of influence knows exactly what's allowed and what's not allowed. And so I get a lot of messages that, like Facebook messages, I wanted to show you this thing, it was so funny, but I didn't want to put it on your page because I know you don't do that.
And, exactly.
And I laugh and I have a great time with it. But again, there's a certain brand that you're trying to put out there.
So again, we train people, if you will, how we want and what we want on our pages. So that ties into number two, which that was a piece of two. I do not post, and I recommend nobody post, the following things on their pages. Anything overtly sexual, because you open the door for comments. Anything religious, unless you want to create a special page, if that's your platform, create a special page just for that. Politics, please don't do that on your wall. It creates massive debates, and you do not want that on your wall. Again, if it's your niche, create a separate page for that. Now, here's another one that I get a lot of people to disagree with me. Jokes. I tell people to stay away from jokes, and I'll tell you why. First of all, think internationally shareable content. People all around the world are viewing our social media. And what may be funny to me may not be funny to somebody else. What may be funny to a female may not be funny to a male. Or someone may have more of a stronger value system or more religious value system, okay? Why go there? Like you said, if you want a funny joke, I do the same thing. I'll inbox the friend. But everybody has a different sense of humor, and you may be upsetting someone beyond belief. Now, some people say to me, well, then they don't belong on my page anyway. And I'm like, really? I'm like, you really want to take the attitude you're going to say to me, well, if they don't like my joke, they shouldn't be on my page anyway? That's being open-minded and like wanting to have a, you know, I don't know. It blows my mind when I see that, right? So it's not hard. You want to post things that are a little bit about your business, you know, some of your blogs that show, but here's my four lines. Is what you're posting inspirational, motivational, educational, right? And empowering. If you can remember those four words, you have it made. One, you're going to have people engaging. They're going to come away with some ahas, something to think about, and they're going to want to come back to your page. And when you share from other people's pages, what are you posting from them? Maybe a great article from them, something from them that's educational, motivational, inspirational, empowering. That's it. So that leaves me with one more. So the other big one I would say is two things that are tied together though. Over hashtagging, oh my God. You don't need to put 20 hashtags, okay? It's obnoxious. Now, it is important now, but no, wait a minute. It is important to use your hashtag. So I say, for me, everything is trilogies, okay? And there's a reason for it. They've done a lot of psychology and marketing studying, like the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the star, the pyramid. There's a lot of symbology in three. Unconsciously, again, remember, we are unconscious beings, and we go back eons and eons and generations in traditions. And beliefs and feelings don't even know exist. So I say no more than three hashtags, please. You know,
great advice.
I'm begging here. I'm praying. Okay, trilogy. My point is, and that goes to any belief. I don't care what anyone believes. But anyway, my point is, make those three hashtags count. Make them. You know, so someone searches that hashtag. It's about the post. It may be one hashtag may be the author, you're promoting someone's piece. One hashtag may be a keyword component about what the article is about or what your post is about. And another one could just be something else that's another keyword that would, again, support that subject. So those would be my three biggies.
Outstanding. Talk to me about selling on social media.
Oh, that's a juicy one. Okay. So studies in marketing and psychology, by the way, says that we need to learn. It's almost like, again, you're going to love this. It's a trilogy formula. It's give, 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 sell. See, there's kind of this weirdness. We have this culture of everybody wanting stuff for free. And then there's also people that are in this lack mentality. And there's so much psychology and everything. So I'm going to tie this in with squeeze pages, okay? How many times, and I know, Corey, you believe me on this one. How many times you go to a squeeze page, and number one, it's in red. And by the way, red is flight and flee response from childhood. When your mother used to grab your hand at every stop sign and say, look both ways. You could get hit by a car. So that is not endearing people to stop and buy. That's endearing people to stop, see the red, and have fear and flight come up and run, okay? So, and I just did this with a client of mine. He was stunned. He literally Skyped me, and literally I'm telling you at 11 o'clock, and I really want your opinion. Can you please go over this PowerPoint with me? And I love this person dearly, and so I did. And I went through his entire PowerPoint for his presentation. He had the red easy button, you know, because he wanted everyone to go, hey, that's easy, bloop. I said to him, I want you to change that degree and then come back to me and tell me what you think. So he went through his entire PowerPoint and he changed the other couple of things that were red. And he goes, oh my God, I can't believe the difference I feel. It looks so amazing. Because what are the thoughts and beliefs we see when we see green?
A green means sign.
Goal. Right, go. Not like stop and freeze. Right? Okay. And then the squeeze page, not only do they have those issues, they're going, okay, If you, again, I can't show the logo because we're in, okay. If you get this today, it is a $3,000 value. But I'm also, if you buy this today, I'm going to add this in. And then I'm going to add in, I'm going to add in this. And, you know, on and on and on and on and on, trying to get you to buy, right? And then, you know, by the time it started out with a $3,000 value, just for today, if you buy within the next 20 hours, and, you know, it's going to go away after that, it's $199. You know, those days are over. There are people like me. Here's the thing people don't get is there's visual people, kinesthetic people, audio people, and audio digital people. People that are audio digital, they are like, just give me the facts and give me the price. They don't want any of the nonsense. It's A plus B equals C. That's it. I'm out the door. If you're going to put me through all that, I'm gone. And our attention span, we have literally like under 5 minutes to literally get someone to decide or leave. And even before that, I mean, just the initial impact, they can leave within a minute, 90 seconds. They say between 60 and 90 seconds. I always go by the minute rule, okay, of going to that page. And if they see they have to scroll and scroll and scroll, or they get to the page and what's the first thing they see? And this because you can do something. And this is what I'm saying. I'm using squeeze pages. This is because you can now do squeeze pages on Facebook for selling. And they have to scroll. They will be gone. That squeeze page needs to be what I was going to say is you go there and it's an automatic video from somebody and that person talks for a freaking half an hour on why it's so important to do this. I'm gone. All right. Give me a 3 to 5 minute pithy and that first minute better be impactful saying, if you listen to this, you're going to get this, this and that out of it. And below will tell you, you know, everything else you need to know. And that should, and I don't like to use this word should, I embrace you to make sure that it's no longer than 350 words. And that video better have a pause button that's not automatically playing. Because there are some people who do not want to hear that video. All they want to do is, this is my bulletin, the pain and what it's going to solve. 350 words and a video. Boom.
I liked something one of the marketing guys said at a seminar I went to. He said, sometimes I just say it this way. This is what I have. This is what I will do for you. This is what I want you to do next. And he said, that's been as much effective as these 900-word sales letters, incredibly. Before we run out of time, I want you to answer this one question for me. How much does it actually matter the number of likes and shares things get? Are there things that are impacting people that I should still keep posting that don't get a lot of likes and a lot of shares?
I'm going to tell you something that's a secret. You will be surprised how many people are watching you that will never. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people that think they need to maintain a reputation. And these are people that are quite well known. And they'll be searching pages and they'll actually really like you, never say it. And I know that even like, you know, people, there's a lot of people that just don't, like you said, are busy, 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 that really will not take the time to click like or share. It's just not, because they, here's the thing, you want to know why? Guess what? Their pages aren't public and they can't share to their page unless they directly post. Some people, like, they block their pages so it's only post only. So some people won't, like, remember I told you some people's pages will only have their content?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why they won't share. Because on their page, they're what I would call, they're almost like voyeurs. They go to everyone else's pages and listen and learn and whatever, and like, you know, they actually like it. But they don't want to put like, because if they like and never share, you're like, why won't they, if they like my stuff, why aren't they sharing? It's because their pages don't have anything on it but theirs.
Interesting. That's really interesting to know, because I have had people come back to me, you know, and say, wow, keep doing what you're doing because I really like those things. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know you looked at my stuff.
Okay. So that's secret number one. Okay.
Cool.
And the other interesting piece I found out is a lot of times people are watching you. They're watching you to see where you're going, you know, where you've been and how successful you're not. I actually did I ran a production like in 2004 with big people, and I'm not gonna say their names, like really big people. And I got an inbox about 2 months ago. Oh my God, I've been watching you and I'm so proud of you. You've always been so amazing that, wow, I just love that you continue to stay on that path and you're doing so good in the world. So a lot of times you'll get more inboxes, or I get inboxes all the time, not just on Facebook and in my personal inbox, or on, you know, keep on, I love it, please don't stop. And you got to remember, some people, now here's the other thing. There are people that have an image that they're well put together and nothing's wrong with them and they never ever down it, they're never negative and never cry, right? So if they go on your page and they see something that's, you know, inspirational and motivational, they don't want people thinking that they need that.
Oh, okay. God, everybody needs that.
I know that, but what you understand is, you know, people are like, they don't want to be, some people don't want to be seen as vulnerable, so they won't. So to me, it's not all about the likes and the shares. It may be, it's more to me about those inboxes I get. When I get an inbox from someone that says, oh my God, you have no idea how much you made my day. You have no idea how much you've changed my life. You have no, if I hadn't seen that today, I don't know what I would have done. You know, please don't stop. You're the most amazing person. Those type of inboxes, hands down, win over any likes or shares or comments.
Excellent. So we really do need to post things of value and then have faith that that value is really helping people out. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yes. And you know, obviously, you know, you want to look. You do want to look and see. But you'll be really surprised how many people are actually truly looking. I find this out all the time. And then also, for example, I have another, I know someone else I work with who's actually extremely wealthy, extremely high up there. And, you know, no, and he did a presentation, and then he said, after I did that presentation, all of a sudden people that I've known for a long time started reaching out. So you never know what it is. Like, you know, I was just in that, just filmed a segment in a movie, and people found out, and I really can't say much now, found out who I interviewed, even though I've been interviewing famous authors and all sorts of people for years. And all of a sudden, those people that have known me for a long time started contacting me. Can you interview me? Can you interview me? So it's a lot of psychology. It's a lot of vulnerability. It's a lot of emotion. So it's really not as simple as we usually think it is. And you got to remember, Facebook isn't a platform that is specifically for selling. I find people do much better selling through their blog posts, their e-commerce sites. There's so many sites that they can sell from, whether it be they have their Amazon author. Now, oh my God, if you're an author, please make sure you set up your Amazon author page. Don't just put your books up there. And hook up your publications to LinkedIn. In LinkedIn now, there's a publication section. So you can take your title of your book and put your ID, your ISBN number in it. And all your publications are right on LinkedIn. And if you create an author page on Amazon, you create your bio, your headshot, blah, blah, blah. And it keys in all your publications on that page. And then what do you have? You have a beautiful link to put on your email. That's your Amazon author page. I can't tell you, begin to tell many people that have like 10, 15 books have no author page on Amazon. I'm blown away. I don't have it linked to LinkedIn.
Wow. So another quick question. What about when you comment on other people's posts? What do you like to say, or how do you like to go about that?
I tell you, there's several things I like to do. I personally am a touchy-feely, you know, I'm a very passionate person. I love those stickers because the stickers are fun. They're full of energy. They'll show, you know, I'll use, you know, a sparkling cat. You know, I might use a, you know, a laughing smile with a heart. I might use a dancing dog or, you know, so I tend to do both. With my friends, I tend to do a lot. We call them sticker wars. And we'll go back. You know me. How many stickers have you gotten for me on your inbox?
Only like 100. I'm pretty deprived. Only like 100. One of the things that I wanted to point out, one of the things that was really interesting is one of my very first successful blogs, Bob Berg helped me with, because I said to him, I said, Bob, did you ever notice that, you know, somebody will say, wow, my daughter won this really great award. And then somebody else will comment, well, that was like the time my daughter won this award. Why do people do that? That's what I call hijacking someone else's mojo. So let's say, am I right in thinking that's a huge mistake?
It is. You know, okay, so you're going to laugh at this one. As you know, I've had 30 surgeries. So I am, and I, you know me, I don't like people saying to me, oh, I hope you feel better. Because if I don't tell people I'm going in, they're like, oh, where's Carly, right? So when I'm going in for surgery, I'll say, I'm going to be gone for the day. I'm going to have someone helping me out. And I accept, you got it, girl. Go for it. Blessings and prayers. I do not accept, oh, my God, I'm so sorry for you. You know, feel better soon. I don't want that energy around me. So I had posted that, you know, I was going in for my, I think it was my 29th surgery. They were replacing my other knee. And now you'll laugh at this because it was a very well-known author speaker. Had the need to come onto my page and said, oh, well, that's nothing. I've had, you know, X amount of hips replaced, X amount of knees replaced, X amount. And I'm like, really? Was that even at all necessary? I didn't post to get like, oh my God, Carly again. I posted because I know my people want to know where I'm at and everyone knows my account. So, right. And I'm like, okay. Do you want me to say that I've had, you know, 5 knees and, you know, I haven't, you know, did I need to specify the count in each limb? And so I actually came back and said, okay, yeah, I've had, you know, 4, you know, I'm like, and then I just deleted it. I'm like, you know, you, first of all, know this, you can't please everybody, you never are. Only post what you want people to post on your site. That's all I'm going to say. If you want people to be mean to you, be mean. If you want people to be nice, be nice.
That's a great rule. If you want people to be nice to you, be nice to them. And you know what? I just personally think it's fun to really just go onto other people's pages and other people's posts and just really build them up. Hey, Carly, that's really cool. I'm so excited for you. That will build you a reputation faster than anything you could ever do.
Okay, but I'm going to add one thing to this because you just said something that's really important. Okay, on posting the comments, because you said we were talking. Okay, know the people's pages you're posting on. I can't say that. I can't emphasize that enough. If I'm posting on another professional speaker's page, you're thinking of putting a ton of stickers?
No.
Okay, no. And I'm going to say, you know, kudos, congratulations, and I might put one, okay, because I know that's the type of person I am. They know me. Okay, now someone else's page doesn't know me really well. I am not going to put any stickers. It's going to be like, you know, thank you so much. I really learned a lot. Great, great tips and, you know, whatever. So what I'm going to say is it's not just about how you want be nice or be mean to me. It's also about please know who you're posting, you know, the person on your page. Look at the page. See what type of stuff they post. What is their personality like? Is it warm and fuzzy feely? Do you know them on a warm and fuzzy feel? Like on Corey's page, I will put stickers because I love them. I care them. I love Tanya. I love some, you know. So it's a different feeling for me. I know he's not going to be upset if I put one on there. Now, I also know other speakers don't like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to honor their values and their code and their beliefs. I know, for example, you know, certain people are very protective of their brand, and that's perfectly okay. So that is a big understanding. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be sensitive. Think, breathe, then do.
You know, and I think something you kind of alluded to before, and I think it's really important, is that we're also, you know, culturally sensitive in that not everything that is uniquely American is going to be well received in other cultures. And so you need to really proceed with caution when you're posting on someone else's post and they may have a different worldview. And this one's for the guys. Women don't think 98% of the things that we think are funny are funny. So don't do it. And women don't like to be teased and they don't like to be picked on. Don't do it.
Yay!
So that's my big tidbit for the call. Don't.
Okay. This is the Snoopy dance. You know, I love that Snoopy sticker.
I always ask myself, is there a positive benefit to what I'm saying? And is there a potential for disaster? If the answer to number two is yes and the answer to number one is no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Who knows? All right. We've talked long enough. People are going to be like, shut them up. Okay. Anyways, as everybody knows, I put together an entire blog post that'll have the embedded podcast. It'll have the embedded video. I'm going to let Corey tell you where you can find him. He's going to spell it out slowly. And then you can find me, your host, Carlyssa Thorne, at CarlyssaThorne. And I love bringing on fun, fabulous guests that are empowering and motivating. And if you know anybody that you think would be good, please reach out to me at CarlyAThorne@gmail.com. And please go check out Corey. He is not just an amazing author, but I have to say an amazing human being. I love him dearly. I love his family. He's a really good, he's just a good person overall. And he's got very valuable wisdom to share. So check him out.
Wow. Thank you. And the best place to check me out right now is actually at thesuccessfulthinker.com. That's my new book, The Successful Thinker, and that's where I've got all the free gifts. You're going to be able to do a lot of cool things in the very near future right at that address. Thanks so much for having me on, Carly.
Always, always. I always look forward to our next one. We do these hangouts about every 3 months or so. We have, you know, something to catch up on, so I always look forward to our next adventure. Well, I think both of us wish you a great day, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great one, everyone.
Take care, everybody.